Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here. The new CEO
of
the United, visually unappealing. Dave Popowicz, how are you, my friend?
Another week's worth of work. I can see what you're doing in the office.
This is what I do.
Coming up with this terrible cheesy
stuff. When you get
stuff.
Stuck in an elevator for 2 minutes, you start thinking about all the cheap shots you can give to Dave Popowicz. That's what happens.
Hey, I got to tell you, I went out. I freshened up my Stampede wardrobe. Hey, I was Johnny Cash on Friday.
Were you?
Oh, yeah, the man in black.
Oh, look at you.
I had a lot of fun.
Is that what you call it?
Well, so, yeah,
I would have called you Johnny Cash List, but it's a different story.
So, you know, we got a pretty interesting show today. We talk to people often, and one of the, you know, one of the recurring themes we hear from people about getting older is they want to be independent and age in place as long as they can with a quality of life and a quality of care that they need.
Without separating from their spouse.
Right.
That's a huge piece. You see, you hear stories all the time
yep.
about how spouses get split up when they're aging.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some communities and how you can do that today. You want to stick around for that for sure. What about CPP and OAS?
Canadian Pension Plan and Old Age Security. The big questions we always get.
When do I take it?
When do I take it? Do I take it now? Do I take it later?
Mm-hmm.
Will there be enough for me?
Right.
Those kind of questions.
Yeah. We're going to deal with that. We've had a few shows now. We want to tackle that one again today because it's a common question for
yeah.
sure. Let's talk a little bit about the markets.
Well, kickoff, earnings season.
Yeah.
I mean, the United States especially.
So,
we have it here in Canada. I'm not saying it's not here, but we've got some big companies. Pepsi kicked it off right off the get-go last week. And we are hearing more about the earnings season of the second quarter, which is supposed to be much better than the first quarter.
Well, it's going to be different. Here's what I want to argue. I want to talk about this, right? What should people be looking for in earnings season? Because the Q1 on the S&P 500 earnings was spectacular. Year over year, 26%. But we had this bit of noise in there, which was the tax issue.
Correct. Right?
We got a tax change in the United States.
The Trump bump.
Right, that influencing. So was that
yep.
were those fundamental earnings or tax? So I'm going to say to you, I made some notes on Friday, and I talked about it with Gord and even Angela a little bit. But what should people be looking for this year as they're trying to analyze earnings and the quality of earnings? Okay,
mm-hmm.
And so let me just kind of throw them out point by point.
We can
talk about them. The first thing is I think there is going to be an emphasis on fundamentals this quarter. Okay. Now, what I mean by that is it's going to be company fundamentals. We'll dig into that in a minute, but also economic fundamentals. Now, as an example, we said that earnings were driven largely or by a large part in the first quarter by tax changes. So we're still going to have an impact on tax changes. Right now, I can tell you we start earnings season with an expectation of just shy of 21% year-over-year earnings growth in the S&P 500.
Correct.
The expectation is that about one-third of that earnings will be driven by the tax changes, which means fully two-thirds of those earnings will be based on the fundamentals of the company alone. That's the expectation. So if you get a 21% earning growth versus year-over-year, and you're a company, but most of that's driven by the tax changes, I think there's a very high probability you won't get rewarded
for that. You'll get discounted
that.
On that one.
That's
for
right,
sure.
right.
For sure.
Okay. Number two, top-line revenue growth.
Yep.
I don't think this, it's not going to be good enough to say, hey, we cut costs and we improve productivity.
Bingo. I think that's the big one. When you're looking at companies and you're seeing that their earnings per share, and this is partly the fault of the media, those who get notifications on their phone,
right.
they're looking at the headlines or the ticker or whatever it may be, you're going to just see EPS, earnings per share, and that's the growth number. That's
right.
all they're talking about. What they're not talking about is revenue. Don't forget, there's a whole bunch of steps before you get to earnings per share on a financial statement. There's a whole bunch of financial lines that you have to put in, accounting lines,
right.
That will get you to your earnings per share. You start off with revenue, and then you start subtracting a whole bunch of things out of there, expenses,
right.
so forth, taxes,
yep.
so forth,
yep.
and you get to earnings per share. If revenue is not growing, but earnings per share is growing, they may get a reward for that short term, but the fundamentals will shift, especially if there's no guidance on that after that point.
Right.
Here, the revenue issue to me is huge because what we're seeing now is we are in second quarter, especially in the United States, was better than first quarter in a gross domestic product basis.
Yes.
The next part of that is, what was the impact of the initial trade war or tit for tat trade trade issues in the second quarter.
Right.
And so has revenue picked up? Now you can put the case of, you know, I'm bullish or bearish on either of them. I think what's happening now is you're starting to see more and more that when the fundamentals come into play, it's no longer just a blanket index that's going to do well. And if you look at the index, it's a handful of players, primarily in technology, that's moving the S&P 500 higher.
Right.
And though you're seeing a lot of newsletters come out saying, hey, look how great we did on our performance numbers and so forth, they picked in a certain sector.
Yep.
The question is, can that sector continue? And I think in technology's case or the financials, we saw something like JP Morgan and so forth announced on Friday.
Yep.
Those you're going to start to see is revenue really the key thing,
and some big differences between JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup when you look at it from this fundamental basis. That's an interesting comparison. You mentioned the trade war. Let's talk about the commentary, because I think this is going to be interesting in this quarter as well. The kinds of commentary companies are providing around the impact, the potential impact of trade war. I think there's going to be lots of caution thrown out, but I think there's going to be an absence of concrete commentary around the impact of trade war. That's my expectation.
And I think where people need to listen to the commentary is based upon companies who are considered the bellwether and industries that are considered to be the bellwether. Do not take, you know, a small company or even a large company that has no major effect on the global economy, is not a indicator of how the global economy or the American economy is moving. Don't take their response to trade war as what's actually happening, because that's their, you know, it's kind of like when we hear about the retailers and one says, the weather messed up. And the next retailer says, we had a great year.
Yeah.
What happened in that store? Was the snowfall didn't hit that store, but it hit its neighboring store. Like it doesn't make sense sometimes when they just blame the weather.
Right.
It comes back to that. So be prepared. There's going to be some companies who will blame the trade war when it's not relevant to the bigger picture.
Right. So we're not saying that companies spin the story, but companies can spin the story. Okay, so the commentary. Now, hey, knife edge on this commentary, I think, will come from the auto manufacturers. I'm going to be very interested to see if they're not going to be able to pass along or hide the any trade tariff impact that they have, right? So that will be front and center, very clear and transparent to people. I'm going to be very interested to watch
what they say. Again, it's not going to be just the one. It's going to be a collective of all of them and see how it compares, because we will focus either on a Ford or a GM, but we got to take it as a collective whole and see how things work.
Investment spending, so things like share buybacks, dividends, these kinds of things, repatriation of overseas, that's mostly an Apple story. We're running out of time here. I know I got to be quick, but last year, 2017, $500 billion worth of share buybacks completed. Already in 2018, we're almost $600 billion. Expectation to push $800 billion in share buybacks.
Again, this is part of the financial engineering that some of these companies are doing. They're bringing money back on shore from offshore areas and so forth. This is the financial engineering to some degree.
Right.
The buyback does give confidence, because now your earnings per share goes up because there's less shares outstanding in the market. But overall, this is not, to me, a one view to focus on, that saying, okay, look, more share buybacks equals the economy is better and the companies will do better.
And then lastly, just finish up on this fifth point, I think, which is the momentum of the market has to be maintained by forward guidance. So take a look at the companies you're following. You want to see their forward guidance relative to the guidance they provided in the first quarter. Are they maintaining it? Are they accelerating it? Are they cutting it? And it could be for any number of different reasons, but momentum will be driven by that forward guidance. Remember, the markets are looking 6 months in advance, right? That's what we're trying to price in.
At least 6 months.
Right. And that's going to have an impact. So those five things. Okay. Enough said. Let's remind everybody about our upcoming seminar.
Yeah. So how do you actually take everything we just said and put that into a strategy? We'll talk about our five pillar investment approach, talking about the good, the bad that's out there, our economic calls. How do you protect yourself and profit in these types of markets? And more importantly, retire with the lifestyle that you want. We'll be discussing that on Tuesday, July 24th, 7 p.m. at the Crowfoot Co-op Wine and Spirits. Now you need to reserve your seats. So give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can register online by going to morethanmoneyradio.com.
Are you or anybody you love thinking about the quality of life that you want to experience as you age, aging in place, and being independent? If you do, or you know somebody, stick around after the break. You're going to like the next conversation. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.